Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text comes from Isaiah chapter 61, verse 10. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord, and my soul shall exult in my God, for he has clothed me with garments of salvation. He has covered me with a robe of righteousness. Does anybody like to shop for clothes? Anyone? There's gotta be some, yeah. There's gotta be someone that does, right? I don't know. I heard it was a woman thing, I don't know if that's true or not. Just wanna show you something I got. It's pretty good, I'm pretty proud of it. It's this pair of gray pants. Pretty cool, right? Huh? Okay. Don't really seem that impressed, I don't know. What do you think? No? Well, maybe I should show you something then. What about this? See that? Everybody see that? Little swish on there. You know what that means?
$35
more. Well, yeah, actually. A little bit more than that. Stands for Nike, right? Just do it. Did you know that Nike makes over $30 billion a year in revenue? $30 billion. And guess what? That's what I'm wearing now. Just so you know. When I work out, when I train in the winter, that's what I got. I got Nike. Telling me I'm a winner, right? So I don't know if you guys have that cool pants or not, but just wanted to share that with you so you know that I'm a pretty cool person and must be worth quite a lot to be able to wear something by Nike, right? It's kind of ridiculous, but this is kind of the whole goal of advertising. It's that once you put our stuff on, now you become suddenly more than who you are. Become suddenly different than who you were before. And you even have maybe special abilities now that you're wearing the swoosh or the Under Armour or Adidas or maybe a dressy Michael Kors, Tommy Hilfiger, Dockers, whatever it might be. Right? It's almost like, oh my gosh, now I'm good. I'm ready. I can go on. I can go play my best ever. I can go win the championship. When I work out, I'll have extra energy because I got on my Nike running shoes. When I go to work, I'm confident because I look good, right? Got my dress shirt. Got my pants. Right? I'm dressed for success. It's the way it goes. It's the way we think. How we view what we wear affects our self-image, doesn't it? And of course, the way we normally think is to get stuff then that will be liked by people and impressive to people so that then we'll have a comfortable view of our self-image, right? Because as long as people think that we're good-looking, then we can feel comfortable about ourselves. But maybe if you don't even care so much about what people think, you might just get things because you like them and they feel comfortable. Since you get older, you're probably thinking like, I don't care about Nike. Doesn't apply to me, right? Let's get on with it. Yeah, but you want to love what you wear, right? If you don't love what you wear, you don't feel comfortable going out into the world, right? Kind of want to feel holed up. Just leave me in the house. Just let me sit here. I don't want to show myself to anybody because of what I got on. And just think about, though, the difference it makes, too, when you have something that's part of a team or something bigger than yourself. Maybe you have the Byron sweatshirt hoodie, right? The bear. I don't know about the Casson thing. I don't know. It's kind of weird. But Byron, right? Byron Bears. You get it for like a basketball team or a sports track team, right? All of a sudden, instantly, now your identity is different. Now I'm just not myself anymore. I'm part of a bigger group. And maybe if your team is doing good, now you're really important because now you're part of someone who's really successful, right? Group is really highly valued and highly sought after, highly respected in the world or wherever your community is. So you know what? As long as good as these clothes are, and I'm just gonna show it to you again, just so you know what's there. They're not really that great, right? We know they don't have magic powers. They don't instantly make us better or stronger or faster or more valuable as a person. This is just a lie that the culture tells to us to get us to buy their stuff, right? By the way, I did buy it with a gift card, just so you know. Advocating, spending tons of money. But this is what they do. They tell us that so that we'll buy it, right? But the reality is it doesn't change us. What it does is it changes our hearts and our minds, and that does change us. What the clothes does is it changes our identity and how we view ourselves. And when that changes, this changes. So in a sense, it seems like that the power is in the clothes. The power is really in the new identity. The new perception of how we view ourselves and what we think we're capable of. That's where the power is. And as good and as quality made as some of those nice brands are, you know who makes the best? God makes the best. God's clothing that He gives, the best outfit. It makes all the Nikes and all the Tommy Hilfigers and all the Under Armours and all the fishermen wear and everything like that from Cabela's makes it look like garbage. Because this clothing that God gives lasts a lifetime. It's not going to perish. It's not going to spoil. It's not going to fade. It's not going to wear out. And it comes with a lifetime guarantee from God Himself. It's created by the Master Creator. And it's tailor-made for you, for me. People who struggle so much with insecurity, with sinfulness, with identity, don't we? But the most wonderful thing about this clothing is that because of Jesus' death and resurrection, He gives it to us free. I'm always amazed at how you go to the thrift stores, you know, once in a while you can find something that's like Nike, you know, or Columbia, and get it for a really cheap deal. Right? So you jump all over that, don't you? Wow, I got this for, you know, only $5 or $10. This is ridiculous. This is like normally $50. They hear because of the cross of Jesus and taking on really our filthy clothes. That's what He did. Taking on our sins. Taking on all the blackness, all the grossness, and wearing it, owning it, even though He didn't do it. Now, because He did that and died and rose again, now He gives us His clothing. His white robe, His perfection, His holiness gives it to us free. And it did come with a cost, didn't it? Came with the cost paid by Jesus Himself. Wasn't that it didn't cost anything? Was that it's been paid by Jesus, the Creator Himself. And that's why we say these garments are a gift. They're not just free. They're not just appearing out of the blue. They're a gift. They're given to you. It's hard to believe in these garments, probably because you can't see them, can you? Someone gave me a shirt, and I opened the present, and there's nothing there. I have a hard time believing that they really gave me something, right? You can't see them, but that's the way it is with the spiritual realm. You can't see God. You can't see angels unless a miracle happens. You can't see our forgiveness. We can't see love. But we can hear God tell us, this is the way it is. People might be quick to remind us of our failures, and you look around the world and people seem pretty messed up. It's kind of like some people say it's everyone's normal until you get to know them. Maybe everyone's really nice until you get to know them, right? And live with them. And you really find out people's problems. And, oh, they're not as, you know, perfect as they thought they were. Okay. No, last night at the AL Civic Center, we had a Rochester Symphony concert, choir concert, every year that we do for Christmas. And the dress code was all black. So you can bet that I didn't want to mess that up, right? What if I came in there with a big white shirt and khakis? Wouldn't that be pretty weird? People would look at me like, what are you doing? You're weird. You should be ashamed. You're screwing this up for everybody, right? You're supposed to be black. It's the way you can feel sometimes in this world. Surrounded by all people who are full of sin, you look in the mirror and you see your own sins. It just doesn't seem right that God would say that you're dressed in white. But yet He does. I remember growing up, it was so hard to find clothes that people would accept as cool, right? And it seems like they always judge your identity based on what you wear. It's one of the hardest things of growing up, right? This world will look at us and say, because you look like that, this is who you are. So much about appearance. And in a sense, it never goes away as we grow older. Yet we have to remember that these garments that we have aren't something that we made. It's not something that we earned. It's not something that we got because we deserved. It's something we get as a gift. And that's why when people say that's not true, or when we look at our failures and say, that can't be true, we remember this isn't our own doing. This is from the grace and the mercy of God and given to us as a gift. And these clothes have power. They're not just a selling point. It's not just trying to trick us. These have power to change us. Change the way we act. To change the way we think, to change what we believe, about ourselves and what we are now capable of. Because now God has made us something new. For Israel, they were in exile, they were devastated, the city was in ruins. They were mourning. What does God say? I shall build up the ancient ruins, and raise up the devastations, and repair the ruined cities. I'll give you a beautiful headdress instead of ashes, oil of gladness instead of mourning, garment of praise instead of a faint spirit, that they may be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Even for Israel itself, they thought, we're just black, we're just devastated, we're just in our sin. Rightly, God could have left them. But he didn't forget the promise he made to Abraham that through his line, all nations would be blessed. So that's why the church has continued today. Because God didn't give up on his people even when he should have. He preserved the remnant and brought them back into Israel and restored what was ruined. He ultimately fulfilled it by bringing himself and giving his own Holy Spirit to his people and through his cross, giving us forgiveness and these wonderful garments of salvation. And that is what causes righteousness and praise to sprout up. It's when grace happens. When you get the gift of wonderful new clothes, does that not result in thanksgiving? The new clothes that you like, not the clothes that you would win the ugly sweater contest for Christmas. Not those. Clothes that you like that you got as a gift. Do you have to think about, man, I wonder if I should be happy or give thanks for this? Boy, that's really nice. It's exactly what I wanted, exactly what I needed, was hoping for, I don't know. I'm going to get back to you on that. I don't know. Maybe I'll say thanks. I'm not sure yet. Right. You say that? No. Springs up. Sprouts up. Thank you. This is exactly what I needed. What I was hoping for and looking for. What a wonderful gift. And before the concert, I had some worries about our symphony concert. It's worries about mistakes because I didn't have to as much time to practice as I wanted to. But our director kindly reminded us that, hey, remember while you're doing this, remember to have fun. To enjoy it. I thought, huh. That's right. This really isn't about me. This is about proclaiming the Savior's birth and the joy of Jesus coming into our world. Why should I be so worried about messing up? He's taking care of that for me. With that change of focus, you know what? I didn't care as much about messing up. And I was able to do better than probably I'd ever done. It's that change of focus from ourselves to grace that will change the way we live. Changes what we think we're able to do. What God can do through us. And we see the point of it all in verse 3. Why does God give all these garments? Why does he change mourning into gladness, praise from faintness? That he may be glorified. That's the whole point. Again, when I'm worried about my own failures, I remember, hey, I don't have this garment because of what I've done. I don't have it because I deserve it. I don't have it because God gave it to me as a reward. I don't have it so that I can start telling everybody about how good I am. Hey, I'm forgiven. I'm perfect. You're not. It's not why God gives it. Unfortunately, we think that way sometimes. It's for God's glory. You ever think about why Nike tries to find the best athletes to promote their product? It's because they want to be glorified as a company. If they can get the Tiger Woodses and everyone else to promote and advertise their product, what are they saying? Well, these guys that are always winning and doing so well, and guess what they're doing? They're wearing the Nike hat, the Nike clothes. What's the message being conveyed? If you wear Nike, you can do this. Nike is the reason why, at least partly, they're so successful. It's the reason why God gives us the garments. The garments that we wear have the insignia of the cross on them. This is our logo. This is our sign. This is our mark of value, of quality, of power, of change. And as we go out and God causes righteousness to spring up because of changing our identity and the way that we look at ourselves in the world, guess who gets the glory? Points back to Him. It's all for Him. Always has been, always will be. Receiving this robe of righteousness or garment of salvation isn't just forgiveness, but it's also the power to live it out, isn't it? Now that we see ourselves differently, we think differently. We interact with others differently. We look at the Lord differently in a joyful way, in a thankful way, so that there's always a reason to give thanks, isn't there? If you got some favorite shirt, you could always say, oh, well, at least I still got my favorite shirt, right? Well, what do you have? You have the garments of salvation. Something that can't be taken away. It's the garments that are free, the garments that are God's gift, the garments that are for God's glory. And the garments that will keep us blameless. As it says in Thessalonians, at the coming of Jesus Christ. This is what we need to wear to stand before the Lord. On His home field, without fear of rejection or judgment, but joyfulness, thanksgiving, that at long last our Savior has been revealed, and we can see, and we will know forever. In His name, amen. Peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, will guard and keep our hearts and minds firmly in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.